I'm just so busy. How many of you have said that sometime in the last week or two? Be honest, I'm just so busy. So we all say whenever we ask each other, how's it going? We say, oh, I'm just so busy. And I confess that even though I just got back from vacation a week ago, I am in the flow again of being so busy. This week we're starting this worship series called Give Me a Break. And of course it comes from that good old slogan, give me a break, give me a break, give me a peek. That's right. And we have Kit Kat bars for you all. If you noticed on your way out, please feel free to grab one or two. There's a basket. We have more. But all these ads, especially Kit Kats, and then I've seen ads for Snickers that say, just take a break. Or I'm getting inundated with ads for care.com that seem to think that once I have a kid, I'm going to want a little extra help caring for the kid. Or all the ads for meal kits or various services. Advertisers know we are all just so busy. We are burnt out, we are worn out, and so they try to sell us products with the promise of easing the tension, taking work off our plates, and making it feel a little bit better. Unless you think I am talking just to some people in here who are in a certain stage of life, I think this is a problem for all of us. When you're a student, you're busy with homework and after-school activities and just keeping up with everything. When you're a young adult, you're hustling to keep up in your first job and to prove yourself and to rise up in the ranks. New parents are chasing after preschoolers every day and trying to keep up with them. Other parents are shuttling high schoolers around and visiting colleges and planning for the next stage of life. I know we have some people in here who are in that sandwich generation where you're caring for young adult children and also aging parents all at the same time, and that pulls you in directions. And I bet some of you are like my folks who, when they retired a few years ago, somehow they're busier now than when they were working all the time, and it's just hard to get on their calendar. We're all just so busy. Our calendars are packed, our lists are never ending, and so the slogan of the Kit Kat bar has become our subconscious prayer, God, give me a break. What are we to do? What are we going to do? Short of creating an eighth day of the week, which I'm sure we'd fill up with tasks quickly enough, I don't know. What are we going to do? Well, this morning we're looking back a few thousand years into the writings of Scripture where some folks wrote down the word of God as spoken to them way back before 1200 BCE. And if you're brand new to Christianity and you haven't been worshiping with us long, I realize it might seem kind of strange to look back at a very ancient piece of writing to figure out a solution to our everyday problems here in modern life. But we read these scriptures week after week after week because for generations, people have found truth in them. They have found God's truth in these words, and they have found life in these words. And so we're turning back to Exodus today. This scripture is part of the Ten Commandments given by God to a people who are in a liminal space. If I can refresh your memory for a moment, these are people who had been enslaved in Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so for hundreds of years, these people had been enslaved. So when you're enslaved, what does that mean? That means that your worth and your value is based on your productivity. How many bricks can you make for me today, says Pharaoh, and that's how much you're worth. So for generations, they had been in this slavery mindset and in this world where productivity and how much you can accomplish is how much you are worth. And God has freed them from slavery, but they're not yet in the promised land when they receive the Ten Commandments. They're in that liminal space, not still slaves, but not quite in the promised land. And they're asking, who are we? Whose are we? If we don't belong to Pharaoh, who do we belong to? How should we live? If things aren't defined by bricks, what are things defined by? And so when God gives the Ten Commandments, it's to help answer these questions, help define their new way of life. So let's read through this fourth commandment again in Exodus 20, and I'm going to just add a little bit of commentary to what Gwen read for you earlier. So it starts out, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sabbath, it can be the Hebrew word, there's a noun that translates Sabbath, and there's a verb that translates that. The noun, Sabbath, literally day of rest. Very straightforward. Day of rest. The verb, it means cease, desist, stop, Shabbat, stop. Just stop. So remember the day of rest, the stop day, and keep it holy. That is set apart, special, consecrated to God. Oh, there we go. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Now, I want to pause here because these are two different words, labor and do all your work. I thought it was very interesting that when you look at that, the word for labor here, abad, is most often used when the scriptures talk about servants or slaves doing the work of a master. So 6 days shall you labor. Ooh, Lee, I think it jumped ahead on me. We got to back up a couple. There we go. That's where we're at. 6 days shall you labor. And so 6 days you shall labor and do the work that other people are demanding of you. Serve the master, serve the boss, do the work you got to do for other people, and do your work. The second word for work, melakha, is like your occupation, your vocation, your business. So essentially God says, look, you have 6 days to do what you got to do and to do what you got to do for other people. But on the seventh day, is Sabbath. It's a Sabbath day of rest to the Lord your God. On that day you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male, your female slave, your livestock, or the alien residents in your town. As it turns out, when God says once a week, stop, it's not just for you. It can be tempting to say, well, great, I can stop. I'll just hire somebody else to do everything on that day. But no, 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 God says, this is a gift. And it's a gift that keeps giving. So you get to rest, and you don't pawn off the chores on the kids. You rest, you get them to rest, you allow other people to rest. You all rest. It's a gift that you receive and then pass on. And why do we do this? Well, it all goes back to how things were designed in the very beginning in creation. There we go. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. This, of course, refers back to that creation poem, that beautiful piece of poetry in Genesis 1 that tells the story of creation so rhythmically in the first day, the second day, the third day. It says, in 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth. When you see heaven and earth, that's the Bible's way of saying everything. There's nothing other than heaven and earth. That's all the things. So in 6 days, God made all the things and everything that is in them. And the creation poem says that he created everything in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. Now, I want you to think for a moment about how strange it is that God rested on the seventh day. Like, can you imagine that? God, who is the source of all energy and the source of all life, God who never gets tired, who never needs to rest, God chose to rest on the seventh day. As it turns out, humanity is not the pinnacle of creation. God's rest and renewal was the pinnacle of creation. God chose to rest on the seventh day. What an interesting thing to write about God. And when you look up the official definition of that Hebrew word behind the word rest, it means rest. It means exactly what you think it means. It means he settled down, he put down, he laid down, he sat down, he rested. And then the scripture says that therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. He consecrated it. He made it special. He made it holy. This is the commandment for Sabbath. This is the reason for the commandment for Sabbath. And just in case you didn't think God was serious about this, just in case you said, oh, well, it's just one of 10, we'll just put that at the bottom of the list. God repeats God's self to be very clear about how important this is. In chapter 31, God says, he's talking to Moses, and God says, you yourself are to speak to the Israelites, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, given in order that you may know, that you may understand, that you may acknowledge and be certain that I, the Lord, sanctify you. I set you apart. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy to you, and everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Lee, my clicker is dying. If you can just follow along. You're smart. You got me. Thank you so much. So it says, you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death, and everyone who does work on it shall be cut off from among the people. I'm going to pause here and point out that's a very extreme consequence. Put to death and cut off. God is not kidding around here. He keeps going. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a day, Sabbath of solemn rest, complete rest, holy to the Lord, sacred, set apart. And whoever does work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. And therefore the Israelites shall keep the Sabbath, observing and celebrating the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, he ceased, he sabbathed, he stopped, and he was refreshed. That is some serious language there, my friends. Put to death, cut off completely. I gotta tell you, I'm really glad for all of y'all's sake and for my sake that we do not follow this Hebrew law literally today. It is really good for all of us that we do not have a literal death penalty consequence for working on the Sabbath. We would all be in trouble, I bet. But the thing is, we can't just blow this off as an old-fashioned thing. There is some truth in this idea that there is death and there is disconnection that happens when we don't take Sabbath. When we ignore our need for rest and recovery, when we forget to power down and recharge, when we fail to ground ourselves first in God, the natural thing that happens is that we cut ourselves off. God's not saying this as a punishment. God's saying this as a description of what occurs. I wonder if you can think back to a time when maybe you had a really busy season at work or really busy season at home, or maybe your spouse had a really, really busy season at work, some season of your life where it was just go, 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 and there were no days of rest ever. If you can think back to that time, I bet that at the end of that season, you felt disconnected from each other. It's hard to connect with your partner when you don't see them ever, or when the only time you see them is chores and housework and knocking things out, and there's no rest. It's hard to connect. You become cut off. With lack of Sabbath becomes cutting off those relationships, and we die a little inside. So this really, really matters. This is serious business that we're doing here. So if we're going to say, God, give me a break, how are we going to do that? What does Sabbath look like for us today? Now, I'm a perfect picture kind of gal, so I like to start like, okay, what's the perfect picture, and then how are we going to get there? So in the ideal world, oh, Lee, we'll do that at the end. You're just so on top of it. So in the perfect world, Sabbath looks like a period of 24 hours of stop time each week. Once a week, 24 hours continuously, we stop. Now, I know that sounds very intimidating if you have no rest in your life right now. So please know we can start small. We'll start with a few hours a week and then add on little by little. But whatever amount of time you're able to do a Sabbath practice, Sabbathing means stopping. Stopping whatever runs your life. If you're a person who works a lot of hours each week, maybe it's very simple. For this period of time, I don't answer my work email. I will just not do work stuff. I will set that aside. But whatever it is that runs your life, stop. Stop for that period of time. Stop working, stop to-do listing, stop organizing, stop calendaring, stop cleaning, stop organizing, stop scheduling. Just stop. Just stop. And just as it was for the Israelites, Sabbath today is a declaration of who is truly king over your life. The question here is, are you in this Egypt mindset where the Pharaoh or the boss or the master or your to-do list or your calendar is the king over your life? The one that says, whatever you produce, whatever you accomplish, that's how much you're worth. Is that what is king over your life? Or are you letting God be king over your life? The God who says, rest. I got you. I'm still here. I'm holding it together. So rest. Sabbath is a declaration of who is king of your life. And the thing I want you to understand about this is that Sabbath is not a burden. It's not like one more thing to fit in your calendar. Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift that God wants each of us to receive. You know, my husband and I are less than 10 weeks away from welcoming our first child, a sweet little baby boy. And so we've been thinking a lot more about what does it mean to be parents and what does it mean to have a child. And I don't know what it's all going to look like. We'll get there. But the more I think about it, the more just we are so certain, no matter what it looks like, that from the very beginning, we want our son to know that he is loved and loved completely. He doesn't have to do anything to earn that love. He doesn't have to accomplish anything to earn that love. We want him to know that no matter what he does and no matter what he fails to do, that we love him, that we're there for him. Isn't that what we all want for our children? Isn't that what God wants for all of us? God wants each of us to know that no matter what we do, no matter what we fail to do, we are loved from the very start. We don't have to earn that love. We exist, and so God loves us. Period. End of story. And that's the true gift of Sabbath, that when we stop all our work, we make space to remember that, to remember that we are loved whether or not the to-do list gets done. We have time to remember that God loves us simply because we exist. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you've probably had a day where you got to the end of the day and you thought, man, what just happened? Because by 10 a.m., everything fell off the rails, and you had a picture of how the day would go, and then you got mid-morning, and then something came up, and then everything started coming unraveled, and then you get to the end of the day, and you think, well, I was going to accomplish all these things, and none of them got done. Tell me I'm not the only person. Has this ever happened to you? Okay, good, good. I mean, not good. I'm sorry you've had that experience. But we all know what that's like, right? It's hard, that end of the day disappointment, to not get caught up in thinking that because you didn't get everything done, you're a failure. That's the gift of Sabbath. The gift is that once a week, God reminds us that even when we fail to do the to-do list, we are not defined by those failures. Once a week, God reminds us that we are defined by his love and not our work. Once a week, God invites us to set aside the tasks, set aside the goalposts, and simply to be. Sabbath is a gift. It's a message to ourselves and it's a message to the world that what we actually think is most important is not our work, but it's God's word over our lives. See, the reason behind Sabbath matters a lot. This is not just like a Saturday. You got really tired, and so you need a rest. This is not saying, oh, well, I really earned this break. You don't have to earn it. The reason for Sabbath is because you exist. It's because God loves you. It's because God gives it to you. We're taking a break because we belong to God. It's a declaration of who is king over our lives. Now, I get it. I'm not the best at this. I'm no expert at this. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I'm very passionate about it, but I'm not the best at it. I was raised in Montgomery County Public Schools, which has the same fast pace as Severna Park High School. High academic pressure put on everybody, and after school activities, I had 2 a day for 4 years all the time. And that pace has just continued as an adult. I still run my world off my to-do list every day, and I'm motivated by accomplishing things, and I always have goals that I've set for myself. I still want to do so much that I have a hard time stopping each week. It's hard. I get it. It's hard to find a day. It's hard to find time to do this, especially if you want to find time to Sabbath with a partner or with your family. It's just hard. Calendaring is hard. And then when you do have a Sabbath day, it's tempting. You get halfway through it and go, oh, well, that was pretty good. Now I should probably accomplish something and forget the whole point of the day in the first place. It's hard. I get that. And so I understand it's not always an easy thing. It's a work in progress. And because of that, I want to make sure you know that I am not preaching about this because I want to put one more burden on your spiritual life. I do not want you to hear me saying, like, here's one more thing you have to do. But I want you to understand that this is really important. And that even though it's really hard, you're not alone in facing that challenge. It's not impossible to start. You can do little pockets, little bits of things at a time. Maybe it's just a couple hours of rest after the kids go to bed, or a slow Saturday morning without setting the alarm, taking a walk after church, slowing down, taking time to set aside the to-do list, be present where you are. I know it's hard to receive the gift of Sabbath. So I don't want you to receive it as a burden, because it is a gift. When we do receive it, we find that there's life in it. There's newness, there's renewal, there's refreshment in it. When we truly invest in the prep work that it takes to stop, we find that when we get going again, we have more energy and vitality for the work before us. In the next 2 weeks, I hope you will continue to join us for worship as we listen in next week on what Jesus has to say about Sabbath. And then the following week, think about some practical ways that we can get ourselves into Sabbath rest here in our actual Severna Park, Anne Arundel County community. But for today, I want to close by asking you to take just one little step into Sabbath rest. And so, Lee, I'm going to ask you to put those questions up. We're going to give you a moment to think and then a moment to discuss. I want you to think to yourself, in the coming week, what would you need to cease or desist in order to find rest in God? Sabbath means stop. It means cease, desist. What do you need to stop or opt out of this week in order to find rest in God? Maybe it's little, maybe it's big. What do you need to stop? And then after you've had time to think about that for a moment, I'm going to invite you to turn to a neighbor near you and share with them what is one way you will practice Sabbath this week. Maybe it means adding something, like adding a little block on your calendar that says, stop doing things, or a little block that says, go for a walk. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you need to add something, or maybe you need to subtract something and say, you know what? This appointment, that's not really actually necessary. I'm going to rest during that time to subtract that. What do you need to add or subtract so that you can practice Sabbath this week? I hope you will find it helpful to reflect and to then to discuss with somebody next to you how you can step into Sabbath this week. And when we're done with our discussion, we'll enter into our prayer song and prayer as we rest in God together.